Well, turning your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 1, verse 20. A very solemn lesson this morning. Reasons for removal and impeachment. The Obama administration, a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and our national liberty and security. It might be a striking sermon topic taken from Acts chapter 1. Yes. It is the 4th of July weekend, and so this morning we're going to revisit a subject that I spoke on last year about the clear and present danger of our present government and what it poses to the kingdom of God, the church, as well as to the liberty and security of our nation. Last time, of course, we tied the administration to America's desolation, to the work of Antichrist that is growing in the world. This time we're going to look at the issues in relation to Peter's words of judgment upon Judas from Acts chapter 1, verse 20. Of course, it fits the book of Acts. We're studying the book of Acts in the morning. We spoke last week on the importance of praying for revival and the nature of praying for revival. Now, in God's providence, we have come upon a very important text that applies to the church and the nation today. In Acts chapter 1, verse 20, speaking of Judas's death and God's judgment upon him, Peter quotes from the book of Psalms, saying, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." Now, Peter, of course, is vindicating God's name in the death and judgment of Judas. Judas, who betrayed the Lord, was condemned and punished by the Lord. He suffered a violent death at his own hands by suicide, and it was made known to all the people of Israel. God will be vindicated against those who defy him and work to oppose the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. And Judas is a lasting testimony, not only to the danger of betrayal and treachery, but also hear of God's wrath and judgment upon them. God's wrath and judgment on traitors. Now, this passage here in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, has also been used in the history of the church as a prayer, an imprecation against God's enemies and tyrants who oppose the gospel and seek to destroy the church and kingdom of God. And we saw last week in our lesson on praying for revival that indeed it is biblical, not only Old Testament, but New Testament, to pray for God to vindicate his name and glory in judgment on the wicked. For the sake of the glory of God and his church, we're certainly to pray for God's blessing on magistrates, for God's peace and favor, as Paul exhorts us in 1 Timothy. But when governments become tyrannical, oppressive, anti-Christian, and so perverse, and led to such acts of villainy and tyranny, it is biblical to seek God's avenging justice in defense of his honor and kingdom. This passage, therefore, in Acts 1:20, which is a collection of verses from two imprecatory psalms, has been used in the history of the church, by godly Christians, scholars, theologians, suffering Christians. The context of their suffering under tyrants or persecutors against those who seek to destroy the kingdom of God. I could give you a long list of scholars and theologians who have fielded this passage in such times of suffering and opposition, beginning with the persecutions of Nero, all the way through the sufferings of the Roman persecutions, the Middle Ages, the tyranny of the Roman Catholic Church that grew in the large, and then as well as during the Reformation, what we see now. Hundreds of instances. Peter says, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." Right? You see bumper stickers now, you know, actually of these same words. A plea for God's justice. Right? A plea for God to vindicate his name and glory, and also, of course, to remove a serious obstacle to revival, reformation, the advance of God's kingdom. It's a plea. It's a prayer. Right? The fact of the matter is millions of people today are being led to hell by false doctrine, by the deceit of political correctness and liberal theology that is demonic. And so it is important that we see the application, the relevance of what Peter says here, taken from the book of Psalms. In the 4th century, after Constantine the great Christian emperor, died, his nephew, known as Julian the Apostate, ruled the empire for a short time, and he sought to undermine and destroy the church and kingdom of God, everything that Constantine had established. And this was a constant prayer of the church under the cross. This was a prayer of Athanasius while in exile, suffering persecution for his defense of the faith, the glory of Christ. What we're talking about here this morning is a plea to God for justice, as well as a plaint to the nation why the Obama administration is like Judas. A betrayal of the Lord, a curse upon the nation, and we pray that he would be removed from office. that God would be glorified and there would be revival, there would be reformation, the kingdom and the church would advance. Because the assault on truth and liberty today is such a plague and a curse that warrants this kind of prayer, this kind of plea. To be straightforward, then, this sermon is designed to be an indictment, a prophetic indictment against the administration for their assault against the law of God, against the truth, and all Christian values. Now, last time we saw how the Bible repeatedly speaks of certain kings and emperors, civil magistrates who oppose the gospel and kingdom of Christ, that they are given the title and the working of Antichrist. Right? They're individuals who either blaspheme the name of God or in such a diabolical way oppose the gospel and the advance of Christ's rule. They're workings of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of the Antichrist who comes with lying signs and wonders and with such deception and subtlety. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, John speaks of the beast rising from the sea with great words of blasphemy. Historically, of course, is a reference to Nero and his imperial persecution of the gospel. But it has relevance to all magistrates, all kings and governments that oppose Christ's rule, his kingdom, his lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord, not Caesar. The history of the church is therefore riddled with various manifestations of Antichrist or Judas, betrayals of the truth. From Nero to Diocletian, Julian the Apostate, Attila the Hun, Muhammad and the Islamic Caliphate, Genghis Khan, the tyranny of the papacy in the modern era, we see the rise of totalitarian governments, communist regimes, whether it's Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Soviet Russia, Mao, and the communist state of China, the communist bloc in Eastern Europe, and now also is growing. Okay, liberal democracies in the West who promote a secular atheistic agenda. You see it in Europe? You see it growing in America. Liberal democracy that opposes the truth, the gospel, Christ's kingdom. Now, with this in mind, you can see the history of the world, right? Jesus warning to the disciples to beware of false prophets, beware of Antichrist. Not difficult to see that Antichrist is alive and well in America. The present administration, the atheistic Marxist agenda, the Democratic Party is at work. America is at a crossroads. Right? Once a great Protestant empire built on the Word of God and sound doctrine, right? Free market economy, encouraging industry and personal initiative, America's on the verge of being destroyed. Right? By a new form of paganism, socialism, statism, right? An anti-Christian agenda. Never before in the history of America has there been such a vaunted attack against the Word of God, biblical values, and the attempt to change the political and religious foundations of the nation. Right? The gospel, as well as the Constitution, are being betrayed. The so-called policy of hope and change, in fact, in many ways, is a policy of deception and betrayal. And there is, therefore, a concerted effort on the part of the administration not only to undermine and destroy American exceptionalism and liberty, but more importantly, to denigrate and dismantle the truth of God and the Christian values that this nation was founded upon. We see this happening before our eyes. A direct attack being waged against everything biblical and Christian. Right? Let alone the destruction of economic liberty. Right? This is not just like a moderate swing from the Republicans to the Democrats. You know, that stuff. No, this is diabolical. Right? It's a cultural revolution that aims to bring all political, social, economic, and religious institutions to the power of the state. Liberal and socialistic government. Right? That rejects God. The promotion of a free abortion, the promotion of same-sex marriage, a whole liberal establishment that seeks to defy God. And so we need to see how this is a betrayal, a Judas, right? To understand the great evil of the policies as well as the corruption that is bringing upon American society. Now we can list all the scandals, the lies, the policy initiatives, all the evidence that demonstrates, right? Even on the news that we see now regularly, the growing incompetence of the administration, right? The IRS scandal and the targeting of conservative Tea Party and religious institutions, massive foreign support and campaign contributions, hidden EPA agendas, targeting of conservative businesses, right? The Fast and Furious scandal, the attempt to undermine the Second Amendment, right? By putting guns into the hands of Mexican cartel, military veteran scandal with presently over 700,000 veterans waiting for their benefits for over 2 years. That's not a scandal. That is criminal. The outrageous hypocrisy displayed in the Benghazi scandal cover-up, blaming the incident on a Coptic Christian's video that simply exposes the evil of Islam and warns America of the danger of terrorism. AP and Fox News scandal, the wiretapping of the EU and other allies, the NSA scandal, gross incompetence shown over that, the suppression and persecution, manipulation of oil markets, oil companies, the manipulation of the Federal Reserve, the vast printing of money now, the cover-up and the real present danger of radical Islam and the war on terror. You would think conservative Christians and churches are more a threat to America than radical Islam, the way the government is handling. Right? $7 trillion added to the debt, much on wasteful spending, the vast transfer of wealth and employment from the private sector to the government. Right? Millions of dollars being spent on bonuses for government bureaucrats. GSA scandal, the war on women, the promotion of homosexuality, wide-scale moral depravity, the attack on the First Amendment, the religious liberty, the promotion of a leftist ideology and evolutionary paganism in their educational policy. The list goes on. The list goes on. The scandals, the attack on Christian values. There has never been such an incompetent administration in the history of America. Why? There's never been such an immoral and corrupt government in America. And so we need to pray. Right? We pray for revival. We looked last week on what it means to pray for revival. We need to pray for God to remove those who are in office who work to destroy the kingdom, to betray American freedom. Right? Let his table be made a snare and let another take his office. Patrick Henry said, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God and the only way to true liberty. Let's remember, okay, a prayerful resistance to tyranny is being obedient to God, and it is the only way to true liberty. So we're going to look this morning at how this administration is a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty and security by looking at the Ten Commandments and how Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver and how the nation is being betrayed today. This administration is working like Judas to betray America over to European socialism, to a new form of paganism. And these are as several reasons why not only the Obama administration, but all liberal politicians who work in opposition to the kingdom of God should be removed. Peter says, let his table be made a snare and a trap and let another take his office. Notice, first of all, their attack on the First Commandment. You know, the First Commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, the First Commandment is to protect God's truth, God's name, God's person and glory from false gods and false religions. There is only one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just as Judas betrayed the Lord, so also this administration is betraying the Lord and is in fact at war with God. And yet they say they're Christian. How shocking! The administration is godless and atheistic. Every aspect of the administration's politics is anti-Christian. Blatantly anti-Christian, the first blatantly anti-Christian administration in American history. America was founded on the Pilgrims and Puritans, established upon Christian principles. The history of this nation has been a history of Christian works, Christian leadership, Christian missions, Christian values. It's universally recognized the doctrine of the Trinity and Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world. Right? With Obama, though, we have the first president administration that is openly hostile to Christian truth and Christian values, at war with God. Our present administration is at war with everything Christian, fighting, in fact, to maintain a supposed peace with radical Islam, promoting a culture of godless, secular, atheistic pagans in the guise of freedom and democracy. Right? It's deceit. Right? You ask, how is it that there are so many who pretend to be Christian? Very subtle liberal theology. They profess to know God, but in works, they deny Him. Let me briefly explain the background of their theology. In the mid-60s, the radical counterculture on university campuses was echoed in theology. The number of liberal theologians adopted Nietzsche's God is dead slogan. It's basically liberal theology under the guise of Christianity. This led to, of course, what is known as the radical death of God theology, closely associated with the liberal movement in Chicago. The radical death of God theology of the 60s counterculture closely related to the Marxist ideology, sexual revolution of the time, atheistic, anti-Christian, even though it goes sometimes by the name of Christian. Even though many of these people in the liberal side would call themselves Christian. But very simply, they completely pervert the gospel of Christ, saying that Christianity is a revolt against God and His law and an argument for atheism, humanism, relativism, and oftentimes they say a New Age Gnostic order that is democratic and egalitarian. That's what you have. Thomas Altizer, for example, argued that God had become fully human in Christ so as to lose His divine attributes and therefore His divine existence. God became man and humanity was therefore worshipped. This is demonic theology. It is subversive to the Scripture. This is complete liberal theology that denigrates biblical creation, denigrates Genesis, denigrates the gospel, Christ, His resurrection, His lordship. They don't believe in the Bible. They completely misrepresent the Bible, just like New Age Gnostics today. In 1961, Gabriel Vahanian's book, The Death of God, was published, and Vahanian argued that modern secular culture had lost all sense of the sacred, lacking any sacramental meaning, no transcendental purpose or sense of providence. He concluded, therefore, for the modern mind, God is dead. And therefore, a transformed post-Christian, post-modern culture was needed to create a renewed experience of God, where global interests of humanity took precedence over all doctrinal or moral attributes, absolutes, principles. Does that sound familiar? Not like the Democratic Party today, right? Radical theology under the guise of Christianity. That's why the Democratic Party has so many, including Obama, who profess to be Christian, when in fact rejects everything about historic biblical Christianity. All the liberals are heretics who deny God and fabricate a false God of their own making. They deny the gospel. They don't serve and worship the true God, right? They're involved with atheism, humanism, relativism, right? The secularistic agenda that promotes everything counterculture, which is an attack on Christian values. That is why Obama can be a Muslim sympathizer and why his policies promote the growth of Islam and downplay the evils of radical terrorism. That's the basis of his political economic agenda. The targeting of evangelical Christians and conservatives for their faith and convictions, and yet protecting the most liberal and most violent of Islamic terrorists. An agenda that is contrary to Scripture. An agenda that is entirely anti-God. Tertullian said, "False gods and the evil work of idolatry and paganism is the curse of governments, the ruin of cultures, and the enslavement of peoples." This is a reason. "Let his table be made a snare and a trap, and let another take his office." He's not in the service of God. They're not in the service of God and true liberty. Notice, secondly, their attack on the second commandment. In the second commandment, the Lord says, "You shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not bow down to it or worship it." Right? "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." God is jealous. Right? He wants His worship protected. His name to be glorified. The second commandment is to protect God's worship from being profaned by idolatry. False worship. Right? Judas, you remember, betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, right? This administration is betraying the Lord for 30 pounds of socialism, New Age paganism. They don't worship the Lord. They worship the idols of Marx, Darwin, and Freud. They worship at the golden calf of statism, secularism, New Age pluralism, and environmentalism. These are the manifold false gods that they worship. They don't worship the Lord. Certainly not on the Lord's day. Certainly not in truth. They serve idols, the political ideologies of sodomy, abortion rights, and global environmentalism. They're in direct opposition to the second commandment and the true worship of God. Calvin said, "To trust in anything above God and His holy word is idolatry." Idolatry in false religion is growing in the nation. And that undermines true liberty. When people worship idols and false gods, liberty is taken away. And that's what we see as this liberal agenda grows. In Matthew 15, Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for adding rituals and ceremonies to God's worship that were not appointed. He says, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So Jesus warns about the danger of false worship, right? God does not accept false worship, idolatry, the adding of ceremonies, the adding of false rituals, right? How many evils are included now today because of the liberal agenda? The present administration have no regard for whatever for God's worship, right? In fact, in many ways, they're closing down the free expression of true biblical worship, attacking and targeting, right, Christian institutions as well as churches. Pretty soon, I can't imagine they'd be forcing licenses, right? Just like China and other totalitarian states, because it is contrary to their expression of what? A free agenda. You preach against the evils of abortion, homosexuality, evolution, and what do you have? Now they think that you're it's hate speech, and you're preaching the word of God. So instead of worshiping God, what do? They encourage the worship of man, the worship of humanity, interfaith, right? They are the idolaters of the self that promote self-esteem, humanistic self-realization, social and political ideologies that promote what? The overthrow of God and the establishment and worship of humanity. They are therefore fiercely devoted to globalization, so-called human rights, freedom of expression, pro-choice, feminism, free sex, the homosexual agenda, and anything that is in defiance to God. Personal autonomy, right, pervades the Democratic Party agenda. You can see this in their New Age Gnostic views that equate God with humanity. Green policies, global warming, their commitment to evolutionary paganism, right? They'd rather hug a tree than worship God, right? Idolizing the self is the most fundamental sin of man. Instead of knowing, loving, and worshiping God and submitting to His rule and authority, this is what the nation is on. This is the agenda. Calvin said, self-love or the idolatry of the self is the false religion of every pagan unbeliever of whatever creed or race. This is what we have growing because of the administration, false worship, a denial of God's true and holy worship. Listen to what Augustine writes in his book, The City of God. He says, there are two distinct commitments of the will, two loves, the love of God or the love of self. Accordingly, two cities have been formed by two loves, the earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God, the heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. The former glories in itself, man, the latter glories in the Lord. For the one seeks glory from men, but the greatest glory of the other is the glory of God. Do you see the opposition, therefore, that is growing? The opposition in America is one seeking the glory of God, the other the glory of man. Right? So they worship the state. When any political ideology that focuses on man eventually ends up worshiping the state, the exalting of the power and the authority of state. So they want to destroy the First Amendment and force an absolute obedience to the state under the guise of what? Universal health care, right? Democracy, right? Democracy. This is what de Tocqueville warned about, the tyranny of the masses, the idolatry of the masses under the guise of what? Democratic pluralism. Herbert Schlossberg writes in his book on Idols for Destruction, he says, modern ideologies since the Enlightenment tend toward the worship and deification of the state. Perhaps the most characteristic feature of modern history, one which impinges upon virtually every area of life, has been the development of the nation state and the subsequent idolatry associated with it. Hey, from the French Revolution on, you can see the advance of the state as God. Communist Russia, Maoist China, and now even liberal democracies, there is a tendency to political idolatry. The tyranny. Thomas Chalmers, the great Scottish theologian, said, statism and government tyranny is a manifestation of demonism, witchcraft, and the deceitful power of Antichrist. We should always remember, especially not only as Christians but Americans, when the state is worshipped, you have false religion. You have demonism. God's glory, His name and kingdom are all threatened by the rise of the modern states, Moloch worship. Ever since the Enlightenment and the French Revolution, the pagan German philosopher George Hegel said the universal is to be found in the state. The state is the divine idea that exists on earth, and therefore we must worship the state. Listen to the utopian Marxist Condi Pullen suggested, listen, the children learn an entirely new form of catechism, right? Devoted not to God, but the state. By whom were you begotten? By the sovereign state. Why were you begotten? That I might know, love, and serve the state. What is the sovereign state? The sovereign state is humanity in composite and perfect being. Why is the state supreme? The state is supreme because it is my creator, conserver, in which I am and move and have my being, and without which I am nothing. Such blatant idolatry and statism is exactly the design of these liberal democracies that reject God. Right? The sovereign state is God. That's what we have in public education. Right? The complete betrayal of truth. The betrayal of the Lord. Right? The people, the Democratic Party doesn't want to admit it, but that's exactly who they serve. They place their faith and allegiance in the state. A godless and secular humanistic agenda. Right? The vast amount of people in the administration today are godless, atheistic, secular, liberal pagans who are viciously in opposition to private schooling, Christian education, right? Christian institutions, and the free church. They want everything under the secular state, right? This is the growth of tyranny. The whole idea of a liberal state is anti-Christian tyranny. Statism, the deification of the state, is a counterfeit God that we see growing today, right? Psalm 2 says that kings and magistrates, princes and judges are to submit to who? To Christ, right? To Christ. To fear Him. Beloved, this is another reason for His removal and impeachment. A clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty is the worship of a false god, the worship of the state. Notice thirdly their attack on the third commandment. The Lord says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Right? God commands the holy and reverent use of His name, His titles, His attributes, His word, ordinances, His works, and expressly forbids blasphemy and the profaning of His name. Right? In Leviticus 10, the Lord says, "I will be held in reverence before all the people, and all the people I will be glorified." Right? God would have His name honored. Now, was this the desire of Judas? Judas, of course, betrayed Christ's name and person by giving Him over to his persecutors to be put to death. Right? Judas betrayed Christ's holy name over to the scribes and the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver. Certainly breaking the third commandment. All traitors do. This is actually the goal of this administration. They revile Christ's holy name. They do not want Him to rule over them. Just as the scribes and the Pharisees, we don't want this man to rule over us. Right? God's holy name is often blasphemed by the liberal administration, by the Democratic Party. Many of Obama's cabinet administration actually are known to be cursers and blasphemers of God's name. Right? Their mouth speaks great swelling words of blasphemy. You can hear throughout the halls, right, the blaspheming of God's name. Right? I don't know how many times I've heard this administration promote ungodly policies with quotes from Scripture, misrepresenting God's Word, misapplying His will and providences, right, distorting and twisting the Word of God in order to maintain false doctrine and sinful practices that, in fact, dishonor God's name. Right? In many ways, they scorn, revile, and oppose God's truth and name for sinister ends. How many times has this administration appealed to Scripture for civility when it only served its purposes to curse and revile others at the own opportunity and permit liberals, Democrats, to otherwise go unpunished? How many people are, right, punished, judged, mocked and reviled for slight profanity, cursings, and then liberals get off scot-free for the worst profanity? They curse God and revile men and then expect others to praise them, the proverb says. In Psalm 50, verse 16, the Lord says to the wicked, "What right do you have to declare my statutes or to take my covenant in your mouth?" Think of the deceit and the treachery. Think of this. Think of the Benghazi scandal. To cloak their incompetence, to cover over the Islamic terrorist strike against the consulate, the administration blamed an Egyptian Coptic Christian. Blamed the Christian for a video which exposes the evil and wicked practices of Islam, the false prophet Muhammad. They purposely and maliciously blamed the Christian community right? The Coptic Christian. Do you see how diabolical that is? Most people are not looking at the Benghazi issue from that perspective, right? The third commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." It's a very wicked thing for magistrates to profane God's name by design. Calvin said, "To promote false doctrines or vile and wicked practices by the use of God's name or by misrepresenting Scripture is a great affront against the majesty of God and brings down His wrath and vengeance." The breaking of the third commandment, the profaning of His name. This is another reason of his removal. It's a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God as well as to our national liberty when deceit and treachery are foisted upon. Notice the fourth commandment, their attack. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God commands us to keep the Sabbath day holy. We're to work 6 days and rest from our labors, worship the Lord and on the Sabbath day to honor the Lord. The fourth commandment, of course, is to protect the Lord's day from being profane and His worship from being neglected. The Lord says, "You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord." Did you know that Judas betrayed the Lord to the religious leaders on the Sabbath day? Remember that. At the Last Supper, Judas went out from the presence of the Lord to conspire with the Jewish council to betray Jesus. And Judas was the ultimate Sabbath breaker. He was supposed to be in the Last Supper, right? Listening, consulting, waiting upon the Lord for His great work. And what did he do? He went out under the cover of night and betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The administration today, by principle, by policy, by practice, by force of political economics, is producing a nation of Sabbath breakers. They don't care about the church. They don't care about the Lord's day. The greater part of the nation has nothing to do with the public worship of God. Nothing to do with sanctifying the Lord's day. In our nation today, while more than 70% profess to be Christian, less than 10% actually attend church on the Lord's day. And over the last several years, it's going down. It's going down. Why? People follow the leaders. You got an administration that doesn't go to church and doesn't worship the Lord. Most people say, "Hey, I can be cool. I don't even have to go to church and worship the Lord." Right? More people in the nation today worship sports, entertainment, more than they worship God. Right? For Obama going to church today, nothing more a photo op to appear to be religious. One of the greatest evils of this generation and this administration is the continual defiling of the Lord's day. Right? And the excuse. There are other things. There's politics. There's, you know, business to be done. It's an attack on the fourth command. We have sunk to such a low depravity that the nation is on Sabbath breaking. We could probably count on our hands the number of times there was clear evidence in this administration's honoring of the Lord's day, going to church. What do? They attend personal press conferences, liberal assemblies, Hollywood talk shows, entertainment parties, homosexual rallies even on the Lord's day. Not church services. Right? There are numerous African-American pastors rebuking and condemning this hypocrisy. They should. Right? Because forget their words, their actions tell them. They declare they're anti-Christian, left-wing, right? Liberals defy God by profaning the Lord's day. They're more likely to be found in Vegas, partying with the Hollywood pagan celebrities than going to church on Sunday. That's the truth. Constantine, the first Christian emperor, on the other hand, said that keeping the Lord's day and hearing God's word from God's preachers was one of the most important duties of an emperor. Constantine even refused to be interrupted at church with court business and politics and encouraged Eusebius and other ministers to preach and to preach longer so he wouldn't be disturbed by the trivialities of government. John Cotton said, "For civil government to provoke by policy or practice the willful profanation of the Lord's day and thereby the propagation of idolatry and rebellion against God is a great evil and worthy of rebuke and condemnation." Look, we need magistrates that honor the Lord, that worship the Lord, are an example. This is another reason for removal. "Let his table be made a snare and a trap, and let another take his office. It's a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty." Notice the attack on the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother." God requires us to honor our father, our mother, our parents, as well as those who are placed in lawful authority over us. We are to give reverence to those in authority, especially parents. Proper respect for lawful authority. Right? Paul says in Ephesians 6, obey your children, or children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That parents are to honor their, or children are to honor their parents. There should be an established authority that begins in the household. Right? And then the church, local governments, and national governments, there's a respect for authority. Right? There is a rebellion against true lawful authority in liberal theology. In Proverbs 30, Solomon says, there is a generation that curses his father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, it is not washed from its filthiness. This is a generation that where the family is torn apart. The authority of parents is taken away. By who? By the state. Right? Undermined by secularism, statism, government welfare, the feminist agenda, and educational system that promotes rebellion to God and the breakdown of the family and parental authority. Right? This administration believes that the government is the real parent authority over children. And it's growing. Right? By policy initiatives, international treaties, and otherwise. Educational policies. It is doing a great deal of evil to undermine the godly authority of parents and to take away the rights of parents and the household and to put it in the hands of the state. Right? Very dangerous to elevate the power and authority of the state over the parents. Parental rights are therefore undermined, being continually stripped away by the federal government. Right? That's a danger. Right? By social welfare advocates, child protective services, international treaties, public school officials, teachers, unions. This is all in keeping with the socialist ideology and the rejection of the law. It's an attack on the commandment of God that you honor father and mother. The right of parental authority. This is why the whole Liberal Democratic Party is so closely tied to the teachers' union and so fiercely devoted to the public school system. And taking away the responsibility of parents. They want children and youth to be indoctrinated into the pagan worldview as soon as they can. What do we need to do? We need to work and pray for the establishment of Christian schools. Right? Homeschools, Christian universities, Christian institutions, a free educational system separate from the state that establishes parental authority, biblical authority, God's authority. Right? In order that our youth are not stolen away by the government and the bond of children and parents is not undermined by the state. Beloved, it is sad to see, though, how many young men and women and evangelical families and churches go off to college, fall into many hurtful sins, right? And fall prey to this same agenda. We need to work for Christian institutions, Christian schools, Christian universities, right? That's the way to break the bondage of the liberal policies of this administration. This is another reason for removal, impeachment. Clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty, seen right here. But notice the sixth commandment, their attack on the sixth commandment. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. Right? In the sixth commandment, God not only forbids the unlawful taking of life, but requires all lawful endeavors for the preservation of life and liberty. The law says you shall not kill. Proverbs 24:11 says, do not forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain. Proverbs 31, Solomon says it is the duty of a magistrate to protect the life of those who are weak or frail. Now, it's not difficult to see that the Obama administration, the liberal Democrats in general, are guilty of the worst form of murder in the history of the world. The Holocaust of abortion. Right? Since abortion was legalized in 1972 by the passing of Roe v. Wade, there have been over 40 million murders committed by the American medical establishment, protected by the federal government and the Liberal Democratic Party, this ideology that is murderous. Right? Nearly 4,000 abortions take place in America every single day. 4,000? That's incredible. Under the cloak of political ideology and a woman's so-called right to reproductive freedom. You know what? Obama is one of the most fierce promoters of abortion rights of any president ever. He and his administration promote abortion on demand as well as late-term abortions, the most cruel and barbaric practices of partial birth abortions, where the baby is delivered up to the neck and then has a pair of scissors jammed through the neck cavity so that the baby's brains can be destroyed and sucked out with a tube. Utterly barbaric and demonic practice protected by the administration. Liberal politics. Reproductive freedom. It's demonic. He himself voted 3 times against the Born Alive Baby Protection Act, which would protect babies from being murdered in the cases of botched abortion. Protecting. In other words, newborn babies are just left to die without food and care. At the same time, these liberals feel so terrible about the birds, the trees, seals, whales, right? Don't kill the whales. You can't take a lobster out of Boston Harbor without being thrown in jail. But you can do this to an unborn baby. It's demonic. The lack of common sense, the demonic power they are under. How many black and minority children have been slaughtered under the policies of this administration? I always ask myself. I always talk with my black friends, African-American friends. How many LeBron James, how many Adrian Petersons, how many Clarence Thomases, Allen West, George Washington Carvers, how many black American heroes have been deprived of because of Obama and other liberal democratic leaders who are not willing to stand up and protect the rights of the unborn? How many? Right? White or black? Anyone who holds to such a view is not fit to govern. They're not fit to rule. Who cannot defend the rights of the unborn? Theodosius, the great Christian emperor, said to expose a child to death by the elements or to slaughter the unborn by potions or sorceries is willful murder. They are not to fit to rule any people if they cannot defend and protect the least of their people. Theodosius, right? The Theodosian code. We need a return to Christian values. They're not fit to rule. They're allowing, promoting a national holocaust, right? A demonic practice that devalues human life and destroys the family and society. They're destroying, actually, minority communities. They don't see that. Matthew 18, Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus warns of the danger of such evil perpetrated upon the little ones. God will bring them to vengeance. The Liberal Democratic Party is guilty not only of murder, but of wholesale genocide, debauchery. This is the great American destruction. The great American destruction. And it's not too far-fetched to see in the possibility in the future that what is now a voluntary act of murder to become a public policy enforced by the government, as it is in China. Right? One-child policy. Two-child policy. Because of this liberal theology. Global warming. Globalization. The need to cut back. You can see this developing in the liberal circles. Another very important reason for removal and impeachment, a clear and present danger of the kingdom of God and to our national liberty. Notice the second commandment, seventh commandment. The Lord says, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh commandment is protection of marriage and chastity, right? Holiness. God sanctions marriage between a man and a woman, commands all to be chaste and holy. He condemns adultery and sexual morality, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all other depraved moral depraved acts that are contrary to his word. What do we have here, though? Right? Jesus said himself it was an evil and adulterous generation. We live in an evil and adulterous generation that is being promoted by the government. Right? This administration is the first that has openly supported a homosexual agenda, same-sex marriage, and the whole culture of morally depraved sodomites. Hey, this past month, the U.S. Supreme Court willfully set itself against the law of God. 6,000 years of history and civilization. The most depraved and abominably wicked generation that has ever existed since when? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we live in. We live in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God rained fire and brimstone down from heaven. This perverse promotion of the homosexual agenda, a society of depraved, immoral people, pedestry, is nothing less than demonism in the revival of ancient paganism. That's what we see growing in today. in our culture. Growing. Right? The attack against chastity, Christian marriage law, the family. They are in league, right, with homosexual culture. The Man-Boy League, wicked and depraved practices of gays and pedophiles. Adultery, pornography, and all different kinds of fornication and sexual morality becoming very common and promoted. And when they do, you can imagine worse things will happen. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I had to fight off and beat up a homosexual who tried to attack me. Seriously, just right over here by Sunrise Mall. If this is going to grow, if you give the wicked, if you give the wicked an inch, he'll go a mile. And that's what we see, growing the evils of a morally depraved culture. In Romans 3, Paul says that such a culture and society is given over to these forms, are given over to a reprobate mind. Even birds and creeping things and animals know how to mate with the opposite sex. Homosexuality is the sure evidence of a depraved mind and culture. Francis Schaeffer said, a society that devalues life, that destroys the sanctity of marriage, and further promotes a culture of sexual morality and debauchery is one in rebellion against God and certainly headed for judgment. We're headed for judgment, right? Another reason for removal, impeachment, a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty, to our security. Look at the Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal. The Eighth Commandment, to protect property. Stealing is a sin and a crime, of course. God requires the lawful procuring of wealth and property, condemns all forms of stealing, even if it's done under the cover of the state. Zechariah 5:3 says, this is the curse that goes out of the face of the earth. Every thief and every perjurer shall be expelled. Augustine, therefore, said, without justice, what is the state but a great band of thieves and robbers? Without justice, what is the state but just a great band of thieves and robbers? And you remember, Jesus was betrayed by Judas for what? 30 pieces of silver. Theft. Right? He stole from the collection, of course, as the Bible says, and he betrayed the Lord for money. The money was to go to the temple. It's not difficult to see how the administration today is guilty of widespread generational theft. But it goes under the guise of such names as redistribution, tax policy, regulatory fees, inflation. In fact, in all honesty, there's never been a more artfully and deceitfully crafted heist in the history of the world than over the last 5 years of the federal government. Right? Since Obama came to office, American household wealth has dropped 40%. $7 trillion has been added to the national debt, with a lot of the money being doled out to the liberal establishment, companies and organizations that are not only in support of liberal democratic policies, but a progressive and anti-Christian agenda. We see it completely flipped upside down. Right? The 15 to 20% real unemployment rate due to the socialist economic policies, tax regulations on businesses, EPA and OSHA regulatory policies to destroy the conservative middle class and the power. It's all purposely designed to advance a socialistic agenda and strip the economic power of the American middle class, which is largely what? Conservative and Christian. The IRX tax policy, healthcare policy, immigration policy, international policy, educational policy are all designed basically to steal vast amounts of wealth from the conservative working class. The issue isn't about poor. The issue isn't about the inner cities and the poor. They're not getting any of it. The vast difference between the wealthy and the poor is getting worse. And the minorities in the cities are getting less and less. Because of the economic policies of the agenda. I don't know why they don't see this. It's not for charity. It's not for the poor. They want to control the economy. They want to control institutions, businesses, and everything. Right? And so we see the burden, the way not only of income taxes, but inflation that is shown in the high prices that have gone up. Right? Whether it's grocery prices, gas prices, vast change in the economy. Why? The decided liberal purpose and design to undermine the political and economic power of the conservative middle class. And they're trying to use the deceit of global warming also to manipulate the markets and steal resources away from the American economy. To what? Not to give to third world countries and to the poor. Now, that's a guise. to give to governments of the world, to influence statism throughout Europe and elsewhere. This administration has destroyed more wealth, stolen more resources, and deceived more people than actually in the history of the world. Right? Now, we normally throw into prison those who steal by fraud or extort by threat of violence. But why not the officers of the federal government? Why not IRS officials? Why not those who deceive and work to manipulate? And then they get bonuses, hundreds of thousands of dollars of bonuses. And let me tell you, there's now under this administration over 700,000 veterans, as I said, who have not received their military benefits. We're nearly a million. Is this merely an oversight? Is this merely, as some media say, the difficulty of a large bureaucracy? I don't believe it's so. I think it's purposeful neglect and shows an open contempt against the U.S. military. Why? Because they're conservative. They are conservative, and they are the ones being stolen from. Many of them haven't got anything for 2 years, three, five. You have men that have fought in battles and wars for decades, and they're pushed aside. They're not given anything. Why? It's purposeful design, a contempt against the American military. Okay? This is another reason, a very serious problem. Clear and present danger to the kingdom of God, to our national liberty. Peter says, let his table be made a snare and a trap, and let another take his office. Look at the ninth commandment. We've gone long, but let's be brief on these last two. The ninth commandment, the Lord says, you shall not bear false witness. The ninth commandment is to protect truth and honesty. Right? God hates lying. We're to speak the truth. We're to maintain and promote truth and justice, to be faithful witnesses. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness utters deceit and falsehood. How was Jesus betrayed? You remember Judas was a liar and deceit, and he betrayed the Lord with a kiss. With a kiss! Sadly, this administration has been like Judas, a factory house of lies, betraying America by rhetoric, kisses of rhetoric, pretenses, right? Betraying the nation, betraying the poor, even with a kiss. Even with a kiss, betraying the poor. From the very beginning, they've lied, deceived, and manipulated, used deception, falsehood, half-truths, distortion, fabrications, and outright fictions to promote a liberal agenda, a policy initiatives, really basically to subvert, right? Lying is their agenda. They use it all the time, right? In whatever way they have, their health care policy, stimulus plan, foreign policy, tax and regular policy, global warming initiatives, everything is built on lies and deceptions, right? Well, the White House today is a house of lies. They pretend to be on the side of God and Christian values when entirely pagan and atheistic. They lie and deceive people by their political ideology and then quote scripture to cloak their hypocrisy. They claim to be protecting the interests of the poor in America, and then they're purposely downgrading, undermining their very life and existence, right? They say, oh, bin Laden is dead, Al-Qaeda is destroyed, Islam is a peaceful religion, when in fact we know Islamic radicalism is growing, the Middle East is less than a decade away from a vast Islamic caliphate. Wars, rumors of wars, terrorism all over. Lies, right? They claim the government is the only way to secure happiness and the welfare of the nation. And look what it's doing to the nation. It's destroying it. Lies upon lies that are growing. It's just too many. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns forever. It's an attack on truth. It's an attack on honesty. It's an attack on integrity. The lies, the factory of fabrications, right? In all the scandals. I mean, how many scandals can you list? And I don't think any common person realizes, you know, they're just going to continue lying about everything. Benghazi, the scandals, the NSA, they're going to continue lying about all these. A reason for removal. Clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty. A house of lies falls. And then the 10th commandment. The Lord says, you shall not covet. The 10th commandment is to protect our contentment and keep us from covetousness. God forbids covetousness, which is a form of idolatry. We're to be content. We're to be thankful for what we have and our place in God's providence. Judas, you may recall, was not content. He was not content with his pay, nor with his calling as an apostle. How sad to be so high and so close and present there with the Lord and the other apostles, and yet so covetous and greedy he wanted more, selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. This administration is in many ways like Judas, greedy and covetous. They want more. They covet what does not belong to them, right? They want power, and they lie and deceive to obtain it. They want wealth, status. They want to take what we earn and save and use it for their own political agenda and purposes. They don't want private charity. They want government redistribution. They want a state-controlled society where wealth is distributed equally without any consideration of private property, personal value, talent, or industry. They want to control. They covet our freedom. They don't want us to live free. They want everybody to be brought into the submission to their political views, public policy, their schemes, agendas, utopian. They want to bring everybody under the chains and bondage of their idolatry. They don't want a free society. They want a closed society. And they covet authority. They don't want Christ to rule and have dominion. They don't want churches or parents to have authority. They want to take away the authority of churches, of pastors and teachers, of parents, and give it to the liberal establishment, to public schools, to social service directors, to health care, to be put into the hands of government bureaucrats. Because they don't want God to rule. They covet business and industry. They hate the idea of personal success and business. They don't like private industry. Right? They want people to become servants of the state. Right? You didn't build that. Somebody else made it happen. Right? That's continually emphasized. The state and its power to help, to control, to rule, to bless, to guide, to direct. Ultimately, they want our life and service. Right? They don't want you to give your life and service to God, to His kingdom, to His church. Right? They don't want to serve your family. They basically, in many respects, they want it for themselves. Right? I can't imagine how many times I have received overtures from the administration for money, for help, for support, that is nothing less than idolatrous. They want to control everything. Right? They want a propagandist machine driven by liberal ideology to control the minds and hearts of Americans. It is failing, obviously. It's failing. It ought to fail. But the statist ideology that is the fabric of this present administration is, like Judas, greedy, covetous, idolatrous. Just in simply watching them give hundreds of millions of dollars to bureaucrats, IRS officials, and these people that are working to the destruction of our liberty. Can you imagine it? That's covetous and greedy in itself. And therefore, we should be warned. We should beware. Okay? Because this often always leads to greater evil. Henry Bollinger said, "We ought not at any time to defend any such tyrannical power and say that it is of God. For tyranny is not divine, but a devilish kind of government, and tyrants themselves are properly the servants of the devil and not of God. For this we may suffer, or when necessary, resist." We should resist tyranny. First, by our words and prayers, right? This is a reason, there's a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to our national liberty when tyranny so exists that it takes away and strips the liberty of God's church, of Christ's people, and of the nation. Judas, you remember, was a traitor who betrayed Christ. This administration has betrayed Christ and also the American Constitution, American liberty. Is Obama like Judas? In many ways. In many ways, there are characteristics, as we can see through this overview of the law of God and how Judas betrayed the Lord. Right? I'm not even saying anything new and different. Did you know that Obama's former pastor says the same thing? He's betrayed the Lord. Now, different ways than we think. Right? Certainly. But has become a clear and present danger to the kingdom of God and to American liberty. This is the days that we are in. And what are believers doing? What are Christians doing? In such a time as this, Peter says of Judas, "We may justly say today in our prayers, let his table be made a snare and a trap, and let another take his office." because we desperately need today a president, a Congress, a justice system, an administration that honors God, that values life, liberty, truth, and righteousness, that protects the family, one that will promote virtue and godliness, at the same time will punish criminals and evildoers, and will defend the nation against foreign enemies and terrorists. That is not a threat to the church, the kingdom, or to those that promote liberty. Ultimately, though, the nation's only hope and remedy is revival, reformation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And therefore, we pray for revival. Remember, this is in the context of the disciples in Acts chapter 1, gathering together in prayer, praying and waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That's what we hope. We hope that God would pour out a spirit of revival and reformation in our land, right? And that we would, as it were, take up the cross, make the sacrifices necessary that we might see another great awakening, a revival. Right? A new birth of American freedom. Thomas Foxcroft said in The Great Awakening, the cost of true liberty is great and will therefore require us great faith and sacrifice. And so we need to believe the Word of God. We need to consecrate our lives to Christ. Honor His Word above all earthly power and authority. Defend the truth of God against all the lies and fabrications today. And as the disciples did, devote ourselves to prayer. Praying for revival and reformation. Praying. Let his table be made a snare and a trap, and let another take his office. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is power to salvation to all who believe. We thank you for your calling, the consecration that you've given to us, the gospel. And we pray in these evil times that you would bring revival and reformation, that you would thwart the opposition of the evil, and if not, bring them to salvation through Christ, give them a saving knowledge of the gospel, pull them out of power by your providence, strip the evil, the institutions of darkness in this present administration from the danger that they are working on the nation. The danger they are working in opposition to your kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing many down to hell, and what a danger it is to the liberty and prosperity of our country. Father, we pray that you would sanctify our hearts, bless us with a knowledge of your word, that we would seek by prayer and supplication revival in the churches and reformation throughout all the land for the glory and praise of your name through Christ our Lord. Amen.